Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed. So I call your name, your name.
Good evening, everybody. Happy Veterans Day, and welcome to the Medium Insights Hour, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation and Signs of Life Radio. We gather here once a month to explore the mindsets of many accomplished spiritual mediums on topics related to the consciousness, spirituality, and the afterlife. My name is Roman Karpichka, and as your host, I'm very excited to welcome the founder of the Forever Family Foundation to the show, Bob Ginsberg. We were supposed to have Gina Simone as our guest medium, but she wasn't able to make it due to some last-minute things that came up. So life happens. We're going to make the best of it. And we came up with a plan B and decided to have the man himself, Bob, on the show. As you know, Bob and his late wife, Fran, are the founding members of the Forever Family Foundation and have done so much for so many people over the past many years. Bob is also the author of what I'm sure will be a bestseller, his book, The Medium Explosion, A Guide to Navigating the World of Those Who Claim to Communicate with the Dead. It's a guide for those who've either had a medium reading or plan to have one, or just simply are curious about what happens when we die. And, you know, profits from this book, which can be, you know, so I'm sure it's available through the Forever Family Foundation and the website, and we'll be discussing it a lot more during this show. All the profits from the book go to the Forever Family Foundation. So without further ado, welcome to the show, Bob.
Well, it's my pleasure. It's finally, it's great to finally join you as part of your show. So yeah. I appreciate it. Appreciate the work that you've been doing and interviewing the great interviews you've been doing with the medium. So we'll step in. Since the show is about mediumship, we can talk about anything you'd like related to the mediums. We could even try to address some of the questions that come in, and people who have emailed come in from our perspective, and see where that goes.
Absolutely. And I just want to also mention that if anybody wants to call into the show and have questions for you or maybe even me, they can, you know, definitely give us a call. And let's see, what's that number? It's 1-888. Oh, here it is. 1-888-627-6008. So your questions are welcome. But Bob's not doing any readings tonight, that's for sure.
Yeah, you wouldn't want one.
So yeah, it's like anything related to mediumship, or if you have questions about it, Bob is definitely an expert. You know, having I've read your book, and I just, you know, for the interview, I just, you know, went through it a second time and you know, made some notes and stuff like that. And you know, I've got some, you bring some up some really good points in the book, actually, that I would love to discuss. It's a really thorough book, and I do enjoy the way that you present it. It's like we're having a conversation. Your book is like you're having a conversation with somebody who's like thinking about going to a medium, and it's the ifs and what ifs and do's and don'ts about everything, and it's really good. And the way that you approach it is just very pragmatic and, you know, nonsensical, and just, you know, just thinking like a normal human being would, and I really appreciate that.
Yeah, well, thanks. You know, the purpose was not to make it, you know, an academic home. You know, I mean, obviously, we just wanted to present a guide about mediumship and the pitfalls, and answer a lot of the questions that, frankly, you know, we've gotten over the years. You know, so I also, you know, included, because I felt I should. Personal experiences that I've had that kind of are backed up by research, you know, I can explain like why we had them. So, you know, I mix some of that in as well. Yep. You know, and, you know, Roman, there's one question I saw that came in that they wanted to ask Gina about. And actually, I'm sorry, I did that that didn't come into the and make it into my book, because it was a legitimate question, you know, and the person wanted to know that they went on Gina's website and that there was a disclaimer that says, for legal reasons, we must advise you that the readings are for entertainment purposes only. And her point was that, you know, someone like herself that was in heavy grief found those words troubling because in her words, it seems to fly in the face of the healing work that you do. So, I mean, if I may, I'd like to address that.
Please.
And, you know, we live in a world where it's a litigious society, and you can't watch a commercial on TV without, you know, seeing some sort of a disclaimer, whether it's, you know, lawyers or pharmaceuticals, you know, or doctors, or, you know, even, you know, cigarettes, you know, everything has some legal verbiage in there. And the reason for that is, you know, mediums, you know, if they seek legal counsel, and a lot of them have, they're advised to put that on there because to protect themselves, because, you know, mediums are sitting with people that are in very fragile states. Sometimes, you know, people will get information that they don't quite know how to handle, and then they could find it disturbing. Other times, people, the medium might give them a piece of psychic information, and then that person might adjust the course of their lives based on the information that they get, which I would never advise somebody to do, because we have free will and the future is not etched in stone. So it's not to take away from the proficiency, you know, of the medium. It's just that, you know, we live in a world where that becomes necessary. So I wouldn't take offense to those words. Surely the medium does not think of it as entertainment, but it's just something that they need to do.
Yeah, just to protect themselves, of course.
Yeah. Yeah,
you're right. I mean, it's all over the place. You see it on TV, the small print and advertising. And what irks me the most is the fast talking, like, you know, where they're doing all that legal fast talking at the end of commercials on the radio.
Yeah,
that drives me apeshit. Part of my language, but I turn the radio off when I hear that. I just can't stand listening to that.
Yeah, you know, there are people that are very proficient at talking a mile a minute, and they get paid a lot of money to do so. But isn't it absurd? Well, you see the thing on TV, and then it scrolls on the bottom, these disclaimers, and even if you had super eyesight, you couldn't possibly.
But it's there.
Read it, but it's there, so they could say it's there. Yeah,
it's there, exactly. And these people, Bob, aren't reading fast. They digitally speed it up.
I guess so.
Now in today's day and age, absolutely, because nobody can talk that fast.
I know. It's incredible.
Yeah. So how many, how are the book sales going, by the way, since you've launched it?
You know, it's doing well, I guess. You know, I mean, I look at, you know, it's hard to tell, you know, most 90% of all books today are sold, you know, via Amazon, you know, so, mm-hmm. you know, it's been staying up there and, you know, in the rankings. So, you know, it's a book that's not, obviously it's not for everybody. It's, if you're not interested in mediums, or you don't believe in life after death, certainly you're not going to buy the book, you know. So, but, you know, certainly our audience is interested, and a lot of people today are interested in mediums. So it's, I've been doing, not that I'm crazy about doing them, but I'm doing a bunch of different podcasts. I mean, on the one hand, it's a good thing because I get to talk about the foundation when I'm doing these interviews. So that works out. But I, you know, in it, I, you know, I try to address, as I mentioned, the most often questions. You know, one of them is, people think of a psychic and a medium, they think that the two terms are interchangeable. Right. And even if they go to get a reading with a medium, they'll say, I went to a psychic. And the fact of the matter is, yes, what mediums do is psychic in nature, because it's mind-to-mind communication. But there's a difference between mind-to-mind communication with two living entities versus mind-to-mind communication with somebody in the spirit world. Right. You know, they still have a mind, they still have a consciousness, they still have a soul. So you're still able to communicate with them. And so in that sense, it is mind-to-mind. Yeah. But there are many people that are gifted psychically, but they can't, they have no ability to communicate, you know, with the dead. So right. there is a difference.
Yes, absolutely. And you explain that very well in the book, by the way. Hey, you know what? We got a caller. We have a guest caller called My Queen from Maryland on line one with a general question. Okay. So why don't we welcome this person onto the line. Okay. My Queen, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hello, welcome to the show. Welcome to Signs of Life. You got a question?
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Yes, I do.
Good. Go ahead.
Okay. So my question is basically, like, can kids connect with, like, the spirit world, or, like, can they see the spirit world? Because my grandmother, she just passed away a few weeks ago. And before I went to her funeral, I was babysitting my boyfriend's mom's goddaughter, and she's 3 years old. And she ended up saying, like, your grandmother, she went away to the vent. And I didn't know what she meant by that. And I was like, your grandmother? And she was like, no, your grandmother. She was sick, and the doctors had to put her to sleep, and she went away to the vent. And then I just left it at that, and I didn't know what she meant by that.
And when she said that, had they know, did she know that grandmother had died?
No, she doesn't know anything about my grandmother.
Yeah, okay. So, well, you know, children often have enhanced intuitive ability, you know, that's closer to the veil, it said, and you know, they haven't been taught by society that these things are not possible. And there have been, you know, thousands of reports over the years of children who report seeing deceased, you know, loved ones. And sometimes the parents accept what the children are saying, and sometimes they think that there's something wrong with the child, you know, that they are, which is unfortunate, you know, that they're having hallucinations or, you know, and so forth. So, I mean, if you're dealing with a child who has some ability or, you know, reports seeing, you know, a deceased loved one, you know, I would sit down and have a conversation with them, and not to tell them that it's not possible, but kind of embrace it and sit down and listen and see what they have to say. I mean, it's, you know, too often we teach our children to be fearful of things that we cannot see, when in fact, maybe we should be doing the opposite. So, right. You know, so it's not unusual, to answer your question, you know, of children to say such things, you know, and we should just pay attention.
Thank you. Because I was like, that's the first time that ever happened to me, because I know it happens to other people.
Yeah. I mean, you know, these after-death communications are so prevalent. And you know, the most common type of an after-death communication is a dream visitation. You know, when you're in that REM stage of sleep, and you know, your chatter mind is at rest, and the people in spirit have a conduit in which to get through to you. So some people question it, but you know, that's the easiest way from somebody in the spirit world to get through to you, you know, through your dream.
I would suggest document this somewhere, okay, because you might be getting more of, maybe not from the three-year-old, but there might be other occurrences from your grandmother. So, you know, if you were close to your grandma.
Oh, yeah, there have been. I just wanted to ask about that specific encounter.
Yeah. Thank you for calling, and I hope she gets more.
Absolutely.
Thank you. You have a nice night.
Yeah, you too. Thank you.
Bob, you're really popular. You got another call for you.
Okay.
Angelina from Pennsylvania with a question for you on line four. Angelina, welcome to the show.
Hi, good evening. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. As good as I can be, actually. I have a question. I tuned in a little late, so I do apologize. But my question is, my 32-year-old son got murdered the end of June, about 2 months ago, I want to say. Now, I've always believed in you know, life after death, and I've had some things happen when I was 14 that cemented that idea. But my question is, about 2 months ago, I met a girl that was a friend of a friend of a friend, you know, one of those things, who heard about what happened to my son. She claims that she's a medium, my son comes to her and says things. The things that she's been saying to me that he says, is he wouldn't say. Okay, I know him, you know, he was my best friend, my confidant, my road dog. Like, he would not say these things. So my question is, because I know that everybody does have, you know, some ability if they want to, or if they are able to tap into that, how do I kindly let her know that, I mean, I think it's awful that she's kind of playing on my grief. But, you know, I've got a loving soul, and I, you know, I don't hold that against her, whatever that may be. But I know for a fact that things that she's telling me are not, they're not correct. So yeah. How do I, like, just gently and kindly tell her that, you know, I don't want her to give me readings, or not even readings, but just come out and say, like, oh, he's talking to me now. He said this, you know, and it's.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you. I'm sorry you're going through that. You know, let me preface what I'm going to say by reiterating something that I mentioned in the book and I've talked about a lot. And, you know, based upon my observations and witnessing hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of medium readings over the years, is that, mm-hmm. you know, roughly, you know, 85 to 90% of all the practicing mediums out there, in my opinion, you know, cannot do what they claim. You know, mm-hmm. 10 to 15% can and are can be extraordinary. But it's not that 90% of the mediums are fraudulent, although some certainly are. It's just that they're inexperienced. They, you know, somebody says to them, hey, you should be a medium, you know, and the next thing, you know, they hang out a shingle and they're, you know, marry the medium and they're charging a lot of money and so forth. The other thing is, in your case, one of the things that we ask a medium when they're filling out an application before we evaluate them is, you know, what would you do in a situation where you had some information, you know, about somebody in the spirit world? And would you go, you know, up to a total stranger and start, you know, telling them? And the ethical thing for a medium to do is never to approach anybody with information.
Right.
You can, you know, mm-hmm. you can go to somebody and ask their permission, you know, if they want to hear from you. But to start blurting out information on somebody is just not ethical. On the other hand, where I thought you were going first is that there are many times where people in spirit where your loved one cannot get a message across to you. Now, that may be for many reasons. I mean, your grief may be profound. You know, maybe you're not recognizing the signs. You know, maybe the person in spirit, you know, doesn't have a resonance to be, you know, with a particular medium or with you directly where they can get a message through, but they are able to get a message through to an acquaintance of yours or a family member of mm-hmm. yours. And they'll do mm-hmm. so in the hope that they will in turn get that message to you. That doesn't sound like what's happening here, because she keeps giving you
exactly
information on that. That's not true.
Right.
So the way that you tell, you know, is by the evidence, right?
Right, exactly. And Bob, this is the thing. Like, I've gotten, you know, and I am still, yes, very racked in my grief, but I've been listening, you know, to a lot of different things on TV and on the radio, you know, the internet and stuff, and your guys so ever since. I mean, and it brings me a sense of comfort. Like, I know that his spirit is here. As a matter of fact, a week and a half ago, I was sitting, I finally stopped, like, just stopped my mind, was sitting in my car talking with a friend on the phone. I was going to do 10 other things, and I said, you know what, just sit and be still. And I'm talking to her about just various things. And then it switched to my son and how he was an organ donor. Not only an organ donor, but specifically for 5 minutes, I'm speaking to her about his heart. His heart had gone to a woman in her 40s. And we were talking about that specific subject for 5 minutes. I looked up, and in the sky, clear as day, there was a heart. A heart in the clouds, completely blue inside the heart. And just, you know, nice clouds. I mean, it was perfect. I was on the phone, like, I said, oh, my God, there's my heart. And I said, thank you, Louie. Like, I thanked him while I was on the phone. I just was stuck in that moment. And there's been so many other things. So, you know, I'm getting signs now that I'm quieting my mind and listening, you know, to you guys. But I don't want to be rude to her. But at the same time, like, every time I'm on the phone or, you know, pick her up to give her a ride, I don't want her to be like, you know, but I don't want to be rude at the same time. Like, I didn't ask for her to read me. I'm you know, listening to all different kinds of mediums and different things on the phone. I've not consulted a medium one-on-one yet.
I think there's a way of doing it without being rude. You could simply say that, you know, I've been getting, you know, some personal communications from my son, and I prefer to communicate with him directly. So, you know, please don't give me any information, you know, and we'll just leave it at that, you know, and hopefully, you know, that'll end it. But I mean, why should you keep being exposed to that? It's harmful, you know, especially if it's one thing if she was giving you all this evidence, you know, it was your son. But if nothing is making sense, it's just not helpful.
Yeah, I mean, I did say to her the last time I was with her, she said, you know, oh, he said, I said, he would not say that. That is not him saying, you know, I did kind of finally be a little firm. But, you know, should she encounter somebody who's very fragile, like, it is dangerous. It really is.
Mediums can do more harm than good sometimes. So it's unfortunate, and you know that's why we try to elevate the mediums that we know are truly evidential and special, because you know it's not fair to them to be criticized based upon, you know, the mediums that are not ethical, you know.
Absolutely, and that's why I keep listening to your radio show, because, like I said, I'm going to consult somebody one-on-one, but, I mean, I think until I ask her to, you know, hey, are you hearing from my son? She can't just run up and say, hey, I'm a medium, you know, and I'm hearing. No, that's not cool, we're feeling.
Yeah, I just want to mention before we say goodbye that, you know, people sometimes ask how they can identify, you know, true signs, you know, from their own imagination. And the best answer I could give is that the true communications have a knowing attached to it. In other words, you were just talking about his heart and, you know, and so forth. And then you look up and you see the heart in the sky and there was no doubt in your mind, right? You just knew that was from your son, right? So that's how you know the difference between a, you know, a coincidence or a true communication, you know?
The other thing you
might want to knowing.
Yeah, exactly.
The other thing you might want to consider, Angela, also is that another form, and Bob, you mentioned this in your book, another form of very evidential mediumship is when the sitter gets a piece of information that they were unaware of that later on proves to be true about something. So you might want to keep your options open about that as well. So take everything with a grain of salt, but, you know, keep it stored, you know, for future reference.
Sure. Absolutely. I thank you gentlemen so much, and have a blessed evening.
You are very welcome. You too. Good night. Yeah, that was an interesting caller. Like you mentioned in your book, Bob, you said there, you know, there's a lot of people out there, and most of them don't want to be fraudulent or, you know, pull the wool over people's eyes, but they truly believe that they're gifted when, you know, they have, they're either not, or they have a lot of work to do to get to that level.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, sometimes, you know, even with the best of mediums, sometimes, you know, even today, I mean, I get uncomfortable. Because I know that mediumship is not a guarantee, and it's not an exact science, and it's, you know, mediums are not going to be 100% accurate, and they're not going to make a connection, you know, 100% of the time either. And,
right.
You know, you and I could understand that, you know, as bereaved parents. I mean, you know, the anticipation of the person, you know, wanting to get a reading and the disappointment that could come about if it doesn't, you know, take place, you know, and that still makes me nervous to, you know, to this day, you know, even though that I know that like the mediums that we certified are among the best, but I also know that there are no guarantees when it comes to mediumship.
Yeah, absolutely. It's such a untapped territory, really. It's, I mean, I can't wait to see what's going to happen in 100 years from now, because somebody's along the line, it's going to get better and better, the way to measure it, and to, you know, science is going to prove it, and it's just going to be better 100 years from now.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. I don't know how much different it is now than it was, you know, during the Victorian era, you know, 100 years ago, there were, you know, thousands of mediums around the world. You know, people used to gather in seances, but then again, back then there was no internet or anything, and that was a major form of entertainment. But even then, it's the same thing as now. I mean, there were a lot of frauds out there, and there were some, you know, incredible, you know, mediums. Yeah. So we'll see what the future brings. Sure,
absolutely. I'll just talk it more from a scientific point of view, and
yeah.
You touch upon a good point. I mean, there was no internet, there was no TV, you know, every person had, you know, 10 brothers and sisters back then, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's, yeah, I mean, you know, people always want to be entertained, and that was really in vogue back in the Victorian era. Very, 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 very true.
Yeah, and of course, then we had a great many, most of the mediums were physical mediums, mm-hmm. As opposed to the mental mediums that we see today. And by physical mediumship, I mean, the person in spirit would take control of the medium's, you know, body, and the medium would go into a trance-like state and bring forth spirit entities that would often talk through the medium's vocal cords. And, yeah. And physical mediumship was associated with physical phenomena such as levitations and lights and, you know, okay. Wrappings and apports, you know, things that would just materialize and, you know, and so forth. So, you know, of course, that could be faked, but
it was.
Some of the greatest, you know, people of science during that time, including Nobel Prize winners and medical doctors, you know, studied some of the great physical mediums and found no evidence of fraud whatsoever. And I'm talking then they would actually they would bind the medium with straps to their chair and gag them and take all sorts of, you know, precautions that we couldn't do now for humane reasons. And they're really torturing these, you know, these mediums, and they still found no evidence of fraud. So I don't discount all that stuff. You don't see much of it today, but
there's probably a handful of mediums in the, like, that Chaim Wege, and there's that other guy from Australia that does physical mediumship.
Yeah, there is still a bunch, and I know that you know, Wesley Cain, who wrote the book Surviving Death, and the Netflix series Surviving Death was based upon, you know, her book. She you know, was working with a physical medium, Stuart Alexander, and was absolutely you know, she's an investigative journalist, and she was absolutely convinced, you know, that he's on the up and up and he produced all this phenomena. So you're right, Roman, there are a handful, but not a lot. And, you know, 99.9% of all the mediums of today are, you know, just, you know, mind to mind communication, you know, mental mediumship.
Yep. And I think that's, you know, because of the fact that that's the type of mediums that we need the most today. You know, it's the you know, and you mentioned it several times in your book because of what you went through, and I went through the same thing. Is that there's no better form of grief therapy than a really true evidential reading, because it turns your hope into a belief, and then it turns your belief into a knowing.
You know? So, yeah, absolutely. You know, I believe that. And we know because, you know, there have been a lot of peer-reviewed clinical studies that have shown that people who believe in life after death do better in the grief than those who don't. And it's logical. I mean, it makes sense. I mean, what else, as you mentioned, what could give you more comfort than knowing that your loved one still exists in some form? That it's not final, you know, that alone can be of enormous benefit, you know, to people.
Yeah, it's, you know, of course we'd rather them be in the physical, but, you know.
Well, of course.
Yeah. It is, yeah, absolutely. You have one quote in the book that I really like, that there is, you're talking about the type of people that, like, people that see mediumship or experience mediumship, you're saying that where is it? The religious person will answer by that there's definitely life after death. There's people that are on the fence, but life after, you know, express hope that it continues. Pragmatists will cite lack of any legitimate evidence, but you also say that you suspect that the skeptics are the one that care the most because they're the noisiest about it. I really like that quote.
Yeah, you know, and also, you know, if you talk to mediums, they'll tell you that some of the most profound readings that they've done are for people, skeptics who walked in, you know, with an attitude, you know, ready to shoot them down, and then, you know, experience such profound evidence that they totally, you know, flipped in the sense of flipped their point of view, you know, and they walked out, you know, as true believers and you know, instead of, you know, closed-minded skeptics. So, you know, I mean, maybe skeptics very often, they're afraid to address the evidence, you know, because they're fearful of things that they can't see and they can't touch and explain by material science, but yet it exists.
I've had some really good readings. I mean, and I've had some really bad readings. And I think the best ones were, well, we both know Mohana.
Yeah.
Amazing person. She's a university professor at the Siena College here in about a half a mile from where I live, actually. And it's just fate that brought us together.
Yeah.
And she recommended a medium that I went to see who just knocked my socks off, because I made the call to this medium from a conference room at General Electric where I used to work, where there's 4,000 people working. So from a conference room telephone, I called and made the appointment using a fake name. And I said, I will come and I will pay you in cash. Please trust me. And I did that. And, you know, like, so she couldn't look up my name from the credit card or anything like that. And until then, I have seen mediums that weren't that great, but when I saw this person, and her name was, I think, Georgia O'Connor. I don't think she's certified through Winbridge or the Forever Family Foundation, but she was amazing. I think she stopped doing it for health reasons. Anyhow, she pulled my son's name right out of thin air, described my grandmother's to a T, described my son to a T, you know, and described, you know, his surviving sister to a T, you know, it's like mind-blowing evidence. Just, you know, that one session made a true believer out of me. Just,
yeah, and I'm sure you walked away from that reading feeling a lot better than you did, you know, before the reading.
I floated out of that session. I was I was floating. I couldn't even feel my feet below my, you know, it was crazy.
So, well, you know, I'll tell you an interesting story is that, you know, a lot of people may find it hard to believe, but, you know, in all the years that we've been working with mediums since, you know, 2003, I never received a reading from one of our certified mediums. You know, I'm surrounded by them all. I evaluated them all. I never did. And the reason that I never did was simple. The way that I think is that these mediums, they knew too much about me, you know, so I could never trust the information, even though I knew they were extraordinary mediums. In my mind, I would never be able to fully, you know, trust it because I would always have those questions. So for that reason, I never did. And after Fran passed, Wesley Cain, who I mentioned, who wrote Surviving Death, you know, asked me if I would like to have a reading with Sandra O'Hara, who at the time was not certified by our foundation. Mm-hmm. And she incidentally also appears in the Netflix Surviving Death series. And I agreed because I knew that Sandra O'Hara was a great medium because when Leslie was writing her book, Leslie took copious notes in the reading and recordings. And Leslie had asked me if she could come out and visit with all of her transcripts so I could score the readings because she knew that that's what I did. And I scored the readings and I was blown away because she was, you know, like over 90% accurate. So in any event, to make a long story short, I agreed to have the reading. But like you, the only name I gave was Bob, you know, no last name. And I didn't want to pay for the reading using my credit card. So I asked Leslie if she would pay for the reading and using her own PayPal account, and I would reimburse her. So I was sure that she didn't have any information on me. And I got a reading, and it was an extraordinary reading. And she was 90% accurate, and it did make me feel, you know, really good. So I understand, you know, I tell that as an example. I'm not saying you have to be that clandestine when you go to get a medium reading, but you should not divulge a lot of information. You know, it's the medium's job to give you the information. And I also believe that when you sit down, you know, the medium should not say to you, who do you want to speak to? You know, it's
of course,
you know, that's feeding the medium, you know, and there are mediums that do that, you know.
I had a medium ask me to bring a picture of my son with me.
Yeah, come on, you know.
Come on, bring a picture. It'll help me. Yeah.
Okay. And I know. And then also a lot of people, you know, they believe that if they bring an article of jewelry or clothing that belonged to the deceased loved one, you know, to a medium reading, that will facilitate the communication. And I won't say that it won't. And there's nothing wrong with that. But you have to be discreet. You know, for instance, I was witnessing a reading once, and the sitter, the person getting the reading, was sitting in front of the medium wearing a necklace with a big locket that was open with a picture of her deceased son. You know, so, you know, you have to, wouldn't it be more evidential if instead of you showing your picture of your deceased son to the medium, you know, brought you that information, you know, on his own or her own, you know, so you have to use common sense when you know, sitting with a medium.
Right. On that reading, by the way, did Bailey come through as well as Fran?
Yeah, she brought through Bailey. She brought through Fran. She brought through my mother. I mean, she had a lot of, I'm all about, you know, specific information versus, you know, general information. And maybe, you know, that's something, you know, that we should address because, you know, if you're,
When we
evaluate a medium, so let's say, Roman, you're the medium and you're looking at me and you see my age and you say to me, Bob, I have your, you know, deceased grandmother here. Is your grandmother deceased?
Of course.
Well, you know, yeah, because, you know, she'd be 120 and, you know, it's a good damn bet, you know. But but then I'm the sitter, so I would, and my grandmother is deceased. So I have to score that as a hit. But if you now, as the medium, say to me, hey, Bob, I have your grandmother Rebecca here. And if my grandmother's name was Rebecca, then I have to score that more heavily because you gave me a piece of specific information versus general information. So, you know, my point is that a medium, I mean, I could give you a reading right now and be 90% accurate because I'm going to give you all, you know, general stuff and make certain assumptions. And it's just
a fun grandmother movie. Was a good cook, for example.
Yeah. So, you know, you have to, there's another question, you know, while we're at it that I always ask mediums. I ask them, what do you think is more important, evidence, you know, or messages of love? And to my amazement, a lot of mediums don't quite get that question, and they'll answer it's the message of love that's most important. And my response is, no, that, you know, it's not correct, because how is somebody going to accept the message if you don't give them evidence that you're talking to their deceased loved one to begin with? So first you have to give the evidence that you're making the connection and you know who you're speaking to. And then if they turn around and give you, you know, a message of love, you can accept it because you already have the evidence. So does that make sense?
It's exactly like you described in your book, Bob, with caller ID. It's like, you know, today phones have caller ID, so you have proof that it's coming from somewhere.
Right.
So it's a very good analogy that you did in your book. Absolutely. And I couldn't agree with you more, because, yeah, you can have the person, you know, messages of love. Yes, your grandmother loves you. Your deceased wife loves you, this and that. But you don't know. That's not evidence, really.
No, and I know it's what people want to hear, and they'll grasp at it, and you grasp at it, and that's fine. But I'd much prefer, you know, that they give the evidence. I mean, they're not going to, well, certainly they're never going to gain our certification if they're just giving messages without, you know, giving evidence. So I think that's really important. You know, one thing to address also, you know, especially in the age of the pandemic, and you know, all meetings and medium readings are taking place, you know, via Zoom. Maybe that'll change again now, but that's the way it's been. And there are Joe Scheel, who is one of our certified mediums, told me a story where he was with another medium and they were doing readings via Zoom. And he saw this medium, you know, when you're on Zoom, you know, you generally have the person's, you know, name, you know, as an attendee. And this medium had a split screen on her computer. And on one side, she, you know, was showing the sitter. And on the other side of the screen, she had Googled, you know, or Facebook, looked up on Facebook, the sitter's name, and had her Facebook page open, and with all that information, and was giving a reading as she was combing through the Facebook page. So it was a total fraudulent, you know, reading. And that's something that we never had to worry about before, you know, because the meetings were taking place. But now that they're internet based, it's amazing how much information somebody can find out with, you know, with a few clicks, you know. So it's a legitimate concern. So we have to be even more vigilant and guarded when we're with a medium to ensure that there's no fraud taking place.
Yeah, I have an unusual name. So if you Google my name, you can get very specific about stuff that's happened to me.
Yeah, so
that's why any medium reading that I do, I insist on giving a fake name.
Yeah.
You know, I've tried with another medium that was local to Albany where I live, and I actually stopped by the office, put money in an envelope in advance, you know, in cash, and then gave a fake name, made the appointment with the secretary. And a week later, I get the call like that. Nope, she's not going to be reading you. Obviously, because she has to read, you know, she has nothing to go on.
Yeah. And by the way, I mean, I don't want to give the impression that, you know, all mediums are tricksters. I mean, an evidential ethical medium would never resort to something like this. And they would be, they're appalled by it just like we are. But you know, there are some that that are bad apples, and they, you know, mediumship is a type of work that already faces skepticism and scrutiny, and you don't need you know, frauds making it even worse. You know, it's hard enough to gain respect when you're a good one.
Well, you know, the internet is full of bad things. You know, there's spoof emails that, you know, just freak people out, and then they end up sending money and all that kind of stuff. It's just a, you know, there's good and there's like everything else in life. There's good and bad with it. You know.
Yeah. You know, a number of years back, we did a survey among our membership, and I asked a simple question. I asked, given the choice, would you rather communicate with your loved one directly or through the services of a medium? So when I devised that question, I thought that the overwhelming majority would say that they would rather get direct communication from their loved one. Is that what you would have anticipated, Roman?
That's what I would have anticipated as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then I looked at the results, and it was the opposite. The majority said that they would rather get the communication through a medium. Wouldn't that pique my interest? So I then started to probe a little further. And what I found, the reason, there were several reasons. One, a lot of people said that if I get a direct communication, I might question it, thinking that it was my own imagination, you know, and that it wasn't real. But if I had the services of a professional who does that, you know, all the time, then I would be able to trust the information more. And that, I understood that. I mean, that's legitimate. You know, that makes sense. And the other reason people gave was that oddly enough, I mean, a lot of people were fearful of
yeah, that's hard.
Communicating with, you know, with the dead for because, you know, the media and the clergy and the, you know, and the family and friends and colleague and so forth are academics, and so they would rather somebody else do it for them, you know? So that's also a legitimate thing. But I was surprised by that. Personally, I'd rather have a direct communication from my loved one, but that's me.
Absolutely. You know, the people that answer because they think it's maybe just, you know, wishful thinking or their own thoughts. Well, they didn't answer the question properly when you think about it, because the question was, it's a communication. It's not whether you think it's a communication. It's a communication. Do you want to get a communication? Like, why wouldn't you?
Right. Know? That's, you know, it's true. And, you know, when we talk about the fear thing, you know, sometimes I've had conversations with people over the years, and I say to them, because people used to say that to me, you know, what would it take to make you 100% believer, you know, that your loved one, you know, still exists? And I've had people say to me, you know what, if I saw them, if they appeared to me, then I would believe 100%. And, you know, I had one person in particular I remember. I mean, I remember her saying that to me at one of our, you know, retreats or events. And then I saw her again about 4 or 5 years later. And she stopped me and she said, remember that time when you asked me what would make me a 100% believer? And I said, yeah. And she said, remember what I said to you? And I said, yeah, you said that, you know, if they appear to you. And she says, well, my daughter appeared to me at the foot of my bed. And I said, wow, that's wonderful. And what happened? And she said, I was scared out of my mind. And I yelled out a scream and she disappeared. So, you know, when you think about, like, how sad is that? You know, you get a visitation from your loved one and you break the chain and make her disappear because you're fearful. You know, she's visiting you. And, you know, what should be fearful about that? So it just shows you how powerful and ingrained we, you know, this information can be. You know, we have this fear instilled in us, you know.
Hey, you know what? We got another caller.
Okay.
We have Christine from Iowa on line 2. Christine, are you there?
Hi. Yes. Hi, Roman. Hi, and Bob. How are you doing this evening?
Very good. How are you?
Great.
I'm doing very well. Thank you. I'm excited to see that you were on the show, Bob, because I got your book about a month ago, The Medium Explosion.
Thank you.
And I've enjoyed reading it. I was kind of led to your book through my journey with my father passing in 2019, very quickly, of a rare cancer. And then I discovered Laura Lynn Jackson's books and then the Forever Foundation and that type of thing. So I've kind of been on my journey of grief and recovery and, you know, looking into mediumship and kind of how to improve my clairvoyance and that type of thing. I've really enjoyed reading your book. And I was wondering just a few things. You were kind of talking before, and I was waiting on the phone about people being fearful of talking to, you know, discarnates. And I'm just wondering, I'm trying to improve my, like, the four clairs and ability, you know, to meditate and that type of thing. And you have a chapter in here and, like, you know, how can you do things? Would you have any other suggestions? Like, I'm trying the meditation. I'm trying to just not trying to be a medium. I think that would scare me too much. But I have over the years had, you know, some psychic abilities throughout the years with clairaudience, clairsentience, not claircognizance, not necessarily clairvoyance. But when in your many years of work with mediums, do you have suggestions for how to kind of improve those like those types of psychic abilities? That's my first question. And then yeah. In your work with mediums also, do they talk about or do they ever talk about how to communicate with the spirit guides and like how I can improve my communication with the other side? And not necessarily by talking to people on the other side, but, you know, seeing the signs and that type of thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, most of the mediums, I mean, one thing you mentioned is meditation. A great many of the mediums, not all, but most of them engage in, you know, a daily meditation. Okay. They're not trying to communicate with discarnates necessarily during their meditation, but sometimes, you know, discarnates pop in. You know, anything that quiets your mind. I mean, the meditation doesn't have to be a formal meditation. A walk in nature can be meditation, you know, listening to music, mm-hmm. You know, appreciating art, you know, or even reading, you know, can be a form of meditation. I mean, I started playing golf, and I go out and I'm the only person in the golf course that loves to play by himself because that's my meditation. You know, just, you know, letting my own thoughts. So anything that you could do to quiet that chatter mind, that monkey mind, you know, is good. A lot of people, you know, talk about doing psychic exercises that sort of gets you in the same altered state of consciousness as what's needed when you're mm-hmm. doing mediumship. And I like the fact that you're saying you're not trying to be a medium. You're trying to be a personal communicator, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, not all of us mm-hmm. are meant to do this work professionally, but yet, you know, we, mm-hmm. we'd like to do this work on their own. You know, regarding your other question on spirit guides, I don't know, you know, some mediums never talk about spirit guides. You know, because they're always, you know, talking directly to the discarnate on the other side. Others, they tell us that the spirit guides assist them, and you know, in every reading. I don't know how you identify a spirit guide. I'm told that it just, you know, spirit guide will come to you the same way that you would communicate with the discarnate. You know, it just pops into your awareness and you have this knowing that this is your guide. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I wish, unfortunately, we don't have any, offer any mediumship development. I know there's a lot of the medium certified by our foundation, you know, do offer such things, but I wish you, I think you're on the right path and I hope that your abilities are greatly enhanced.
And Christine, have you ever heard of Victor Zamit? He's got a wonderful website. You can sign up for his Friday Afterlife Reports.
It's, could you say that again? Victor?
ZAMMIT.com. Just go to that website, sign up for his Friday Afterlife Reports. It's a plethora of information on what you may be searching. And
great. Okay.
It's really good. You'll love it.
Wonderful. That's awesome. Thank you so much for your time. I loved your books and I love your show. So thank you.
Thank you so much. Thanks for calling. Bye-bye. Thanks. Bye.
Yeah, that was quite interesting. So
I guess we've reached the end of our time. Our Roman
Olympics. It just flew by, Bob. It's amazing. Yeah. Wow. I mean, it was a very good plan B. I'm glad it worked out.
Yeah, well, glad we could always enjoy talking with you. And you do a great work with interviewing these certified mediums. And awesome. I know your show will be back again. And, you know, Gina will make arrangements to join us at a different date.
Of course. I'm looking forward to it. Okay, well, thank you very much, Bob. And everybody, thank you for tuning in. I will be back on the second Thursday of December. And until then, just, you know that your loved ones are just a heartbeat away. And that, you know, as Fran used to say, our science is going to prove it. And I truly believe that. So until next time, everybody, have a good night. Happy Veterans Day. And we will talk to you soon. Good night, everybody.
Good night.